Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. Our first guest is UAS Evening at Eagan speaker Mark Finkelstein, and we're here to talk about tomorrow night's talk on the light and dark sides of the universe. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. So the light and dark sides of the universe, for our listeners, what got you interested in this subject?
Well, on the light side, what I'm really talking about is the interaction between the sun and the earth. And there are a lot of activities that go on there. The sun is a giant nuclear reactor, and it emits. It's a very violent place, and it throws a lot of material into space, and some of that material comes towards Earth. And in my career, I've been building spacecraft, and those spacecraft have to tolerate the effects of this material, these material streams that we call solar winds. And on the Earth, we have this magnetic field. You know, the Earth is a big magnet, and so compasses point to north, the magnetic north. And that magnetic field actually deflects a lot of these particles and protects us. But in some situations, the sun gets particularly nasty and sends out a stream, a very violent stream called a coronal mass ejection. And when that stream hits satellites, it does damage. And when that stream hits space stations like the International Space Station, it increases the radiation levels. So we have to be aware of that and the effects of that. On Earth, it's kind of neat because the effect of that is these beautiful auroras. But also when it gets really bad, the effect of that is major blackouts on the power grid and computer failures. So all of that together, that was about part of my career. And I thought it would be an interesting topic. That's the light side.
A coronal what?
A coronal mass ejection.
Wow.
The sun has a corona, a very high temperature gas area basically on its outside. And its core is much hotter. But because there's nuclear reactions going on and they're massive, it sheds a lot of mass continuously. And every once in a while, one of those violent sheddings, if you will, is pointed directly towards Earth, and we see the effects of that.
Interesting. Thinking about a spaceship that's out in our orbit, what are conditions like out there? I think we've all seen the movies and maybe have a little bit of an idea, but without the protection of our atmosphere, what is it actually like?
Well, without the protection of our atmosphere, it's not good. I mean, you don't want to walk out there in a bathing suit. But the spaceship itself, you know, if you're talking about human spaceflight, that spaceship has to provide radiation shielding because the radiation levels, especially when we're near the sun, and the Earth is near the sun in this context, you have to protect people, especially if they're going to be in space for long periods. As far as temperature goes, the side facing the sun is going to be quite warm and the side away from the sun is going to be quite cold. And there's no atmosphere to moderate that like there is on Earth. You know, nighttime we're colder than daytime, but we're not that much colder. On the moon, on the dark side of the moon, if you will, really not the dark side, on the non-sunlit side of the moon, there is no dark side. The temperatures can get quite low, and on the light side, they can get quite high.
What are we talking about, quite low, give or take?
Hundreds of degrees below zero.
Wow. Interesting. When we travel here in the atmosphere, jet planes go up to, say, 30,000 feet where the air is thinner. It's hard to imagine being in a place where there is little to no resistance. Is that true for your spaceships?
Resistance?
Like just – is there any sort of resistance that spaceships go against?
Oh, absolutely. So you know, we have different orbital regimes that you put satellites at, and what we call low Earth orbit – where the International Space Station resides, and many many Earth surveillance satellites, many weather – well, some of the weather satellites are much higher up. But in low Earth orbit, there's still a little tiny bit of air. And so unless you burn a rocket periodically, your orbit's going to decay and you're going to come back down to Earth. So that's what has to be done. And in fact, you know, way back in the 70s, we had Skylab. And that was a big space station. And then the space shuttle was supposed to go up and dock with Skylab and then propel it back into orbit because its orbit was decaying. but the shuttle program was delayed and Skylab fell to Earth.
Wow. Wow. In general, and you've covered this already a little, forgive me for asking again, but just thinking about the light and the dark side of the universe, you said the sun is an example of the light side. Where's a great place to think about as the dark side?
Well, a billion light years out in space.
Okay.
Okay, away from any stars. And a lot is happening out there. And, before this interview, you asked the question about is it absolute zero out in space? And, temperature is really a thermal motion of molecules. But what you really have is you have an intrinsic energy that exists in all of space. And it's just in recent years really been investigated properly. It's called the zero-point energy. And, quantum mechanics has talked about this for about 100 years now. And it's impossible for any region of space to go to absolute zero energy. So what we call absolute zero is really the lowest possible energy state.
Interesting. Interesting. Trying to wrap my head around all of this.
Well, and this residual energy is believed to be the reason the universe is expanding, because otherwise you would expect all the gravity from all the stars and galaxies to make this thing contract. So you had this big bang, and this thing you would expect it to slow down and eventually reverse and have a big crunch. But it's not doing that. It's expanding, and it's expanding at an ever-accelerating rate. And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about tomorrow.
It seems like you enjoy this subject.
I do.
Yeah. It seems like it. Very interesting stuff. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m., evening at Egan. All mm-hmm. the evening at Egan lectures are free. Should be very interesting. I'm not sure if you feel comfortable answering this, but, everybody's talking about going to Mars. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great idea.
Really?
Why? I think exploration is in human blood. I mean, you go back to Magellan and you go back to, Mallory, who climbed Mount Everest because it's there. And you go back to people who sail solo around the world. I think it's in our blood to explore. And I think that at this point with 7 billion people in the world, the Earth is just too small and confining. And I think space exploration is the thing to do.
And as a person that's constructed spacecraft before, how's our current technology looking, in your opinion? And will we be there soon?
On Mars?
Yeah.
Well, we have unmanned robotic vehicles on Mars right now and have mm-hmm. for many, many years. And we've landed probes on the moon and we've landed probes on Venus. And we've done flybys on Jupiter and Saturn and actually leaving the solar system. So it's just a matter of will and dollars. you can do it very soon if you have enough will and dollars to do it.
And you'd get on board.
I'd get on board.
All right. Well, you can get on board with Mark tomorrow night, evening at Egan. It's out at UAS. And the title is The Light and Dark Sides of the Universe. Is that
That's
right?
That's correct.
All right. Mark Finkelstein, it's been nice talking to you. Is there anything I'm missing? Anything you want to add about tomorrow night?
I don't think so. 7 p.m. at the Egan Library.
Great. We'll see you out there.